Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It looks like this is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something should be popping up over there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, oh, you know this one by now. Come on, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three.
So, all right, Dan, well, you know, just to kick things off here, kind of catch up with yesterday. You know, I was a little leery about starting, you know, Zach Gallen against the A's. You and I discussed it a little bit, but you know, he was the the big suggestion on a lot of the fantasy websites. They really liked the matchup. And you know, in the end, I ended up staying away from it. I went with Hyunjin Ryu. I just liked his matchup better. Well, as it turned out, Gallen actually ended up having a really good outing. Seven innings, three hits, one run. He walked one and struck out eight. The big thing, of course, that held him back on a site like FanDuel is he didn't get a win. You know, and I believe wins are 3 or 4 points, and they can be really important when you're racking things up there. To be fair, you know, Hyunjin Ryu himself had a really, really good start. I wouldn't say it was as good as Gallen's was, but he did get the win. He went six innings, only one run, didn't walk anybody, and struck out three, but he got that all-important win. So I think Gallen did outscore him by a little bit, but they were close enough to where I was able to make up the difference because I had Fernando Tatis Jr. in my lineup, and he went ape crazy, and I ended up getting my money back. So I actually made money. I think I made 50 cents on that. So I'm okay there.
Lucky you.
Yes. So, but I brought up Fernando Tatis Jr. for a reason, Dan. I don't know if you've managed to catch up with this one, but last night, late in the game against the Rangers, the Padres were, they were cruising to what, was going to be an easy victory. Tatis was at the plate with a 3-0 count. I believe the score may have actually been 10-4 at the time. They gave him the take sign at third base, and either, his manager said he missed the sign. You know, there's always a chance he just ignored it. Ended up hitting a grand slam, which apparently the Rangers weren't too happy about because the next batter up was Manny Machado, and Rangers pitchers Ian, I'm guessing this is Gibbett, something like that. He threw at Machado. So not only did he get a one-game suspension, but so did Rangers manager Chris Woodward, because of that. But I just get more than one game. I'm looking here, but it doesn't really seem to say. I'm kind of hot and cold on this, Dan. I mean, I see the idea of in a blowout, you just want to get the game over. You don't go chasing after those pitches. But then I also see the sign where you don't groove a guy a 3-0 pitch. You know, if you don't want to hit him the grand slam, don't groove him the pitch.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of in the middle. I've heard guys come down on both sides. whose side are you on here?
To be honest, I think this goes back to Bryce Harper when he came around, and this, you know, some of these unwritten rules are just over the top, kind of stupid, like annoying. Like you said, I'm going more with, if you didn't want him to hit a grand slam, you didn't want him. Why did you toss him up a pitch that was just perfect? Why didn't you go with a high fastball?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of like when an NFL team is complaining that the team's running the score up on them. It's like you're on the field with them. You have the chance to stop them. You know, and this is kind of the case here. You know, you're pitching. You know, there's nothing that says he has to take that pitch. You know, except that unwritten, you know, that goofy unwritten rule, which there are so many I don't think I can keep track of anymore. And, you know, I get it. You don't want to embarrass another professional when you're at that level. And, you know, it just so happens that the Padres manager and the Rangers manager apparently are really good friends. So, you know, that plays a small factor in this because, you know, you don't want to do it to your friend. Oddly, the funny thing is I would want to, if I could beat one of my friends, I would want to beat them as badly as possible. But I guess that's just me and I'm a jerk like that. I don't have too big of an issue with it. I guess, and again, this goes back to, we've heard this a bunch of times. Apparently the other thing that bothered him was kind of the way he celebrated it. And I that's another thing, I guess we've got to kind of get over that, don't we now? Cause this is how people are now in baseball. I mean, you know, they're not just going to run around the bases and go in the dugout anymore. You know, they don't do that.
No, I mean, we already have the no fun league. So why does Major League Baseball have to copy that?
So, it was just kind of baffling when I heard it. You know, and then the other thing I don't understand is, what the hell did Machado do? why don't you just wait till today and throw at Tatis? You know, if he's the guy you want to get, go get him. And to be fair, maybe they will today. I mean, I don't know. I know the game is going on now. I don't think he's been hit, but let me pull up the box score here. By the way, the Padres are winning this game 6-3. So, you know, maybe the Rangers should be a little more concerned with winning instead of, you know, whatever else is going on there. And, it does not look like he has been hit. Oddly enough, this Gibraltar, however we're pronouncing this, is in the game right now. He's appealing his suspension. And Tatis stole third base off him.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Go ahead, because I got to ask you something that just really kind of is strange to me. So go ahead and get this out.
Well, no, I mean, like you said, I think everyone needs to get over the celebration. I'm sorry, but if a guy hits a grand slam off you, too freaking bad. Like, get over it. That, you know, it's interesting because this weekend, locally, our guys had Tony Gwynn Jr. on. And one of the things that Tony Gwynn Jr., you know, of course, they talked about, that the fact that there's not enough African Americans in baseball. And, you know, he brought up the fact that, you know, the sports that are popular with more of that crowd, weren't as popular in the 70s and 80s and 90s, where like the shift has changed. And, you know, and plus baseball could be expensive, and, you know, we can go on and on about some other stuff. But at the end of the day, there's just so much involved with it. And I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? That, you know, there's the lack of fun I guess was kind of my point. You know, you've got all these young kids coming up and you're not allowed to have fun. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of dumb. Like, let them have fun. Let them hit a home run. Or that was my point. Was there's baseball, it makes it a little bit harder. And I think this is why, and no offense to the NBAers, but we see a lot more crybabying in the NBA, is because baseball is just filled with disappointment. You know, I mean, the best hitter in Major League Baseball, according to batting average, is still out 70% of the time. So that's – he didn't say that that's a big reason, but that's one of the things that deters people, because today's society is so used to being praised for everything, where baseball is probably the one sport where it's disappointing. You know, there's a high level of disappointment, so it does turn some of the kids away because they're not used to being told no or having a negative experience. And so, you know, that's one of the things that comes along with it. And, I mean, let's be honest, as a pitcher, if a guy hits a home run off you at Grand Slam, it's part of that process. You're going to be disappointed in this game. You need to get thicker skin, toughen up, and shut the hell up. Grab the next ball and wait for Manny to come up and strike him out. If you didn't want to get embarrassed, you know, like you had said, well, then maybe your pitches should be better off, better on. Maybe you didn't want to be embarrassed, then maybe – Major League Baseball isn't where you're meant to be. And maybe you should go find an independent league where you could be the star, just like back in high school. But you know what I mean? And on the flip side, if it were bases loaded and he struck out Tatis on a 3-2 and walked off the mound, you know, not cheering, but, you know, with the arm almost like a Kirk Gibson, you know, kind of those things, that would have been okay. You know what I mean? Because how many times have we seen pitchers do that when they get strikeouts? So, I mean, this unwritten rules stuff, some of it's just got to go by the wayside, because the game isn't this small fraternity as it was back in the day when you only had the major leagues and you only had a couple farm teams. Where now, I mean, how many minor league teams are there? How many other areas of baseball is there for people to play? And I think that's one of the things, is those unwritten rules get lost in translation, because at, you know, you bring it down to Big Jack, our level, which, you know, the way things are, we'd only be qualified to coach Little League. You know, the dads and people like that aren't teaching these unwritten bullcrap. You know, so when Tatis gets up there, he's probably spent his entire life not learning any of this crap because it doesn't matter anymore. I hope I didn't lose your train of thought.
No, well, basically you just reminded me that baseball is 70% disappointment and just kind of like my life. humorously, though, you mentioned Little League. I was coaching, you know, I used to coach the older age bracket, 13 through 15. And I actually had a kid get me in trouble with another coach, because we had a wild pitch. It went to the screen, and the runner went from first to second. When the kid got down to second, my shortstop walked up to him and said, "Hey, man, it's a foul ball. You got to go back." Kid started walking back to first base, and we got him out in a rundown. He heard about it on a Cubs game, so he would try it. And it worked, and the other coach had a fit. I'm like, "Dude, I don't know what the hell is going on. All I know is your guy went back to first base, and we got him out." He came off the field, told me what happened. I you know, I said, "I got to pretend like I'm yelling at you, but I don't care, dude."
The old trick play.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious because, you know, I had never thought about that. And, you know, I mean, if you're dumb enough to listen to somebody from the opposing team, I figured you deserve to be out, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, this is what I was curious on, if you could explain it to me. Now, you know, you and I always, you know, we always kind of go through, I know I play, I think I've done it just about every day. I don't know if you're keeping up with the free home run challenge on FanDuel. You know, and I mean, I for whatever reason, I don't have any luck with this, and I can't figure out why. I think it was it over the weekend? I believe the Rangers were in Colorado, All right. Now, obviously, Colorado, one of the best hitting parks in baseball. Well, one of the best home run hitters in baseball is Joey Gallo of the Rangers. You know, I think I used him every game of the series, Dan, and he did not homer. You know, and I'm just kind of like, well, I'm like, wait, you know, this guy's been one of the best, you know, probably the best hitters park in baseball, either that or Cincinnati. You know, this guy's one of the best home run hitters in baseball, and he goes homerless for the weekend while, you know, guys who hit, you know, two homers a year are hitting bombs. I can you explain that one to me? Because that just seems like insanity to me.
Or Linsanity. Sorry. It's because you picked him.
Yeah.
If he didn't pick him, he would have hit three, at least three of them. You know, and that's one of the hardest things about.
About what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the funniest thing, you know, and that's like I can't seem to figure out, you know, how these guys just happen to put these together. Like Framil Reyes hit two home runs for the Indians. I don't know if it was last night or the night before. How do you come up with that pick? You can't tell me there's an algorithm or something like that that's telling you Framil Reyes is the guy to hit two home runs in a game. You know, yeah, sure, he's a really good power hitter and anything, but out of all the guys and all the matchups, how the hell do you find that guy? But yet there were people that had him.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, it's just baffling to me.
I don't know. I feel like it's the home run of all of the, you know, obviously it's chance. It's like the lottery, but it's probably the hardest. To be honest with you, you know, because, you know, the last time I was double checking, I don't even check. Sometimes I just pick and then I don't even check it anymore. Because the last time I got so excited, I had four home runs, right? Not the last time, but just a couple times ago. Because the last one we were going back and forth with on Twitter, I had about three and everyone had four. So I was out. So many. You know, and that was one time last year. I had four, and I didn't even look at it. I go, I got four, because I knew who I had. It was one of those days where, you know, you knew who you picked. It was fresh in your mind. You're watching. I get the notifications. I'm like, oh, man, I'm killing it. I go in. Everyone has five and six. You know what I mean? So it's a rough one, and it's, you know, I think we tried that experiment last year, or I did. A lot of times, well, you did too. We kind of went back and forth with our ridiculous sabermetric determinations. You know, I'm only going with ones, you know, leadoff hitters today. I'm only going with twos. I'm only going to go with Bryce and Trout for the week. I mean, those were kind of fun. I think honestly that made it a little bit more entertaining was the fact that you and I think especially with the home run pool one, since it is a free one, I think that was kind of the cool thing that, you know, between you and I that we did was the themes. You know, you would go 1, 2, 3, I'd go 3, 4, 5, you know, things like that. So that made it a little bit more fun, and I think it made it a little less annoying when I wasn't winning or hitting the money. You know, I don't know about you if you felt that way too, but it's such a crapshoot. The home run one is fun, but it's one of those that it takes you back to the Nintendo days when you fall into that empty space in Mario and then just throw the controller.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this year of all years, I mean, you know, just watching, they definitely gassed up the baseball. I mean, with some of the stuff I'm seeing, it's just crazy. So, yeah, it makes it even, you know, more random. Like, I believe Robinson Cano had two home runs last night. You know, I wasn't even sniffing putting Robinson Cano in my lineup, but he hit two. You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it's very, you know, very random on who and how is just going to be that, you know, that big guy. And I did see today FanDuel added, if you get six, there's now like a $10,000 bonus if your lineup hits 6 home runs. And I was like, well, maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, have a guy explode or something, but I doubt it with the way, you know, things kind of go for me. You know, generally I'm happy if I just hit one. So, and yeah, you know, like I had some good luck early in the year. You know, I had a couple 4 days where I lost the guys who hit 5. But, you know, I was like, well, at least I'm hitting them. But lately, as of lately, I'm kind of back in my normal, you know, if I get one, I'm lucky. But most days I'm getting zeros now.
Yeah, it's been difficult. Every day is so different.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think. I figured since the White Sox were hitting a lot of home runs, I would take a White Sox. So I think I took Nomar Mazara today. I have Vlad Jr., but I don't remember who my third guy was. So, you know, I've been more interested in the actual lineup because I've actually had a couple really, really good days. You know, Sunday I did really well, and yesterday I did really well. So I'm hoping to kind of continue that parlay and just keep winning, you know, money. I think Sunday my lineups won a little over $5, and last night I won a little over $6. Oddly, my baseball lineup started doing better once I stopped messing around with the basketball and hockey.
Oh. Yeah,
you know, I mean,
well,
I'm sure there's no correlation there because I was only spending 5 cents on basketball and hockey. But, you know, I actually won a couple hockey ones, but basketball, I never got close. But, yeah, oddly, once I stopped doing those, my baseball lineup got better.
Yeah. You know, I've been hit or miss. Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of bonus points, if that makes,
well,
you know. But on August 7th, I just had to double check. From that $10, and do I have much time left, Big Jack, to spend that? I don't think I tried spending it all. But I won $4. Off of
oh wow,
I mean that's kind of a big one for me. That sounds, but you know I won $4 and 10 FanDuel points.
Ah,
so I think that's
no,
where
yeah,
my money is where it's at right now.
I mean I would be happy with a $4 win. I mean, you know, I mean I've said it here before. I don't, you know, I don't ever bet more than a dollar on a game. Every once in a while, if I really like a lineup, I'll throw it in a $2 league. But I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's fun for me. I'm not looking to do it for a living. You know, otherwise, I would probably be dead of a heart attack or something with the way these things go on. So, yeah, I there's no way I could handle the stress level of, you know, some Jamoke striking out in the bottom of the ninth with two men on and, you know, nobody out because he's trying to hit a home run instead of just driving in a run and all I need is an RBI to win. So, you know, that you know, that would kill me.
Well, you
but,
know what it
yeah,
was? And this, the one I won on, and I've been trying to do these a little more, but it was called the double up. And one of the hardest things that I found, well, and I won in this one, and it was only out of 56 people. And I don't know about you, Big Jack, but if I'm going to spend the money, the whole $2, I figured it's FanDuel's money anyway, so whatever. You know, I like to try to get in the smaller contests into 100 people, but I'm sure, as you know, they're not easy to find.
No.
A lot of times I've put my lineup together and then I hit submit and it's filled. You know, I mean,
yeah,
some of the ones you send me that are 150 max, you know, if I don't take an early morning break after breakfast and, you know, see that invite, I'm not in it. So, I mean, those ones I try, but I scramble and it's, like you said, it can be stressful, but I find that's where I win money is in the smaller one. Well, win dollars. I guess when it comes to fantasy gambling, winning money means, you know, what would you say, 20, 30, 50, 100? You know, that's winning money. I'm winning dollars, and I seem to find that better in the smaller leagues. Do you kind of fall into that too? Or
yeah,
I mean, 5 cents,
I don't
care what's in it.
Yeah, what I've learned that I've really enjoyed is, you know, like, you know, those 5 cent or the 25 cent leagues where they have the multiple entries, That doesn't bother me. I don't mind getting in those. But, like, when I'm in, like, the dollar leagues or anything like that, I like to be in the leagues that are single entry only, you know, because I know in those multiple entry leagues, you know, there are guys putting in 200, 500 lineup, you know, in those leagues looking to cash. And, you know, that's, you know, I'm not into that. I mean, again, and these are the guys who do it for a living. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit at my computer and, you know, they probably use five different lineups and enter each one 100 times. I, you know, even with my, you know, wonderful, you know, I don't work that many hours like, you know, you do and a lot of people do. I don't have the time to put together five different lineups and enter it 500 times. You know, that's just nuts. You know, and the sad part, you know, the weird part is that's probably not the only league they're entering. You know, they're probably entering a whole bunch of other tournaments as well because, like I said, they're doing this for a living. So, you know, it's just kind of crazy when you think about it that somebody's sitting there going, okay, well, I want to match up this with this, and this is the best method here, and okay, here's lineup one, here's lineup two, you know, then here's lineup three, four, and five. Okay, I'm ready to go. Let's get these entered. You know, I mean, just imagine that. That's insane. But, you know, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do to make money. And, you know, if you get one lineup that hits and you win the league, you're splitting it with yourself. I kind of prefer the, you know, if I can find the single entry leagues. And normally those are, you know, a buck. They're not normally the cheaper leagues like the nickel or nickel dime quarter type stuff. So, you know, I'll spend a buck or, you know, maybe $2 if there's two of them to put my lineups in the single entry leagues. But, yeah, there's no way, you know, like there's no way I would bet, you know, $5 or $10 on a lineup and put it in one of those multiple entry leagues. That would be, you know, for a fantasy player like me, that would be suicide. You know, that's just not, you know, not me. That, you know, that's what Mr. Fantasy started doing in football when he started making money. You know, he would have three or four different lineups and enter them multiple times. You know, and it worked. He started cashing, you know, actual money. I mean, you know, before he disappeared and we stopped doing the Sunday podcast, he was winning, you know, $50, $100 every Sunday with his lineups. So, you know, I think there was only like 1 week he didn't end up cashing some kind of money. You know, bare minimum, he was at least getting his money back. And, you know, then he tweaked the system a little and started winning. So, I was like, damn. But, yeah, I just don't have the heart to do that. You know, I can't live with that. So.
No.
Well, you know, we'll. Yeah.
No, but you're right. That's the one thing I did leave out. I try to stick to the single entries.
Yeah. And, you know, we do, Dan, actually, we have three games going right now. We have, believe it or not, the Rockies and the Astros are in the 11th inning, and it's 1-1. The Giants are up on the Angels 6-1, and unfortunately the Giants roughed up Dylan Bundy, who Mr. Fantasy and I have in our money league. So hopefully his next time this week goes better. And then the Padres are actually beating the Rangers 6-4 as of right now. So, those are our three active games that are up and rolling. So,
and it's only Tuesday. So.
Yes. But, yeah. But yeah, I don't know about you. Well, you, it might be worse for you since you're working during the day, but. You know, are you finding it difficult to keep up with what everything's going on? I mean, we got three baseball games going. You know, we got hockey going. We got basketball going. And, you know, man, I just kind of feel like I'm lost at sometimes trying to keep up with what's going on.
It's almost like you don't know where to start. And it's funny because I think, you know, just like the athletes, and, you know, we kind of grew up with that stuff, being in, you know, athletics, wrestling, whatever. You get on a routine, And, you know, in the past, for as long as we've been doing this, it's never been an issue. Come June, or, you know, even April, watching baseball, keeping up with hockey, the NBA, and then, you know, any minor NFL talk during, you know, the early part of their off season. And then, you know, kind of rolling into that in the fall when it all comes back again and it's the NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, and MLB, you know, right in October. And it never seemed to be an issue, but I don't know if we've just been out of it for so long that, you know, baseball came back and it's trying to get into the groove of baseball. And all of a sudden, you know, here's the NBA and NHL playoffs. And then I'm getting notifications. I'm like, should I watch this? But it's 12 o'clock. Is it really this early? You know, it's kind of throwing me off. Day hockey.
Yeah, it's just weird because, yeah, like I woke up, you know, obviously, again, I have the overnight schedule, so I get up, you know, in the afternoon. And, yeah, I get up and, you know, there's already a hockey game on. It's like, okay, here you go. Wait, we're playing, you know, and it's not the weekend. If it was the weekend, okay, I would get it. But I'm like, yeah, here we go. There, what's going on? Who are these teams? So, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, like I expect it with baseball, you know, because there's always going to be, you know, I know like, you know, the MLB Network has their Tuesday afternoon game. So there's always going to be a game scheduled. But, you know, now it seems like, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, Dan, I think there's live baseball game on every night between Fox, FS1, the MLB Network, and then the Mickey Mouse family of networks. You know, are they just trying to make up for the fact that we didn't have it earlier? Oh, did I kill Dan or did Dan kill himself?
I knew myself.
Still there.
Well, that's all right. I was rambling. You know, I mean, Fox is trying to make up for it, I think. You know, they didn't have it
so?
To begin with. Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's their time to really grab games. And that's where I would think with Fox, you know, kind of making up for any lost games that happened, but just a grab at, you know, people getting used to games on Fox. Because honestly, I forget, you know, we have the MLB.TV, so if it's out of market, I just try to tune into that. But yeah, you know, and then I realize it's a Fox broadcast when I watch the next day, the condensed game. And I'm, you know, I'm thrown off, you know.
So, all right, well, you know, how about this, Dan? You know, the trade deadline, there actually is a trade deadline in Major League Baseball. It's, you know, it's August 31st, so the end of the month. And humorously, a guy, John Paul Morosi, wrote an article for MLB.com a little bit about what you and I talked about yesterday with the Indians for Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac. So it would have been nice if he would have given us a little credit and said he listened to the podcast and this is where he got, you know, he got it from. You know, like he mentioned that, you know, he, you know, a couple weeks ago, it would have been impossible to imagine the Indians considering dealing Clevinger or Plesac. But, you know, we talked about it yesterday. You know, there's some issues there. You know, they're down at the alternative site continuing to work out, but sooner or later, Cleveland's going to have to make a decision. Now, are you in the do they trade him market or not? Because he seems to think they might deal one for what he describes as a young outfielder, and the name he mentions is Alex Verdugo of the Red Sox. I don't think that would be enough in return for either of those guys, but, you know, maybe the Red Sox would throw something else in. Do you see them in different uniforms, or you think they, you know, they work this out? Because we're talking about two talented guys, especially Clevinger.
Yeah. Trevor Bauer is no longer there. So.
And neither is Corey Kluber.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's possible, and I would lean more towards it. You know, I kind of mixed them up, which was the one that didn't tell his teammates and join the bus with them?
Clevinger. Yeah, Clevinger,
yeah, okay.
The one that didn't say anything, got on the plane.
I honestly, I think if anybody, it's him. I don't think he's back with the team. I think he gets traded. Part of it is, Plesac, went on his own, whatever he did, I think it's easier to mend. And unfortunately, in this situation, just kind of feel like someone has to be the example.
Yeah, it does seem that way, I do wonder if Plesac would have said anything had he not gotten caught trying to sneak back into the hotel. That's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, would he have fessed up had they not caught him? I don't know if he would have, to tell you the truth. So, that's kind of, an odd wrinkle there. But, if they decide to move these guys, I believe both guys are still, still have multiple arbitration years left. There's a lot of value here. So if they're actually willing to do this, I would think team, depending on what they would want, would be like, okay, let's talk about this and they can get a fresh start here. Because that's all they really need, right? Go someplace, get a fresh start. Oh, did you mute yourself again?
Oops, yeah. Dogs are barking. This is one of those situations where, like I said, someone has to be made an example out of. And while Plesac tried to sneak back in, he also didn't go jump on social media and start talking about how he feels like he's being portrayed as a bad guy and kind of, your foot's already in your mouth.
He actually did that. He was the one who did that on Instagram.
I confirmed the wrong thing. I knew it was Clevenger, that rode the plane. But I guess that puts it in a they're kind of equal then. I think, in my mindset, and for the sake of the team, I think you trade both of them if you can in a package deal.
Yeah, that could be a, if I'm a rebuilder, I'm one of these teams that's in my rebuilding mode. Man, am I calling to see what they want? that's the first call I'm making. Hey, what's gonna you need an outfielder? Here's what I got. you need me to pay some of the salary? That's fine. Give me these two guys. that could really be. That could really push forward, one of these rebuilding teams if they could, land one or both of these guys. That could be a really big step. Again, obviously depending on what Cleveland would want for them. It'll be interesting.
Morosi said that Boston would be a good spot, and think about it, aren't they continuously trying to get under the luxury threshold?
Yeah, they have been. That's why they're trying to move you back. They want to get themselves under the luxury tax. So
yeah, and I don't remember, I haven't checked if they're fully under it now, but kind of pushing that level back another few million further doesn't hurt, and if you can get two quality pitchers. And I don't know who you trade away.
If I remember right, they're not under it this year, but they're in position to be under it next year. They would have been under this year had JD Martinez opted out. So.
And when is his contract over with?
I think he's got one. It's either this year or next year. He's really close to being done, and you just wonder if they could work something out there with him. But it's like he's going to get his money. He hasn't played this year, has he?
I don't think so.
I wonder if he's even scheduled to play. I never even looked into it when we were doing drafts and stuff. I never even bothered to think, oh yeah, let me go see what, you know, what Dustin Pedroia is doing. But let me see if I can get his contract figure here. If my internet will cooperate and work quickly here, I will hunt down Dan's favorite search engine and see what I can come up with. Yeah, he's on the books for $12.125 million next year. And then he's done.
Well, at least it's not what I was thinking. I was thinking it was going to be 20s.
Yeah, so yeah. Luckily. But yeah, you know, not only did Morosi talk about the Indians, he brought up some other, you know, kind of interesting possibilities. He had four teams he was talking about. You know, and he jumped on the Brewers, which I thought this could be a really interesting deal because it's two clubs that fit together really well. You know, the Brewers have an abundance of young starting pitching. But what they need, especially with Lorenzo Cain deciding to, you know, take the year off, they need young outfielders. Well, oddly, the team with the biggest stockpile of young outfielders is the Atlanta Braves, who just happened to have their ace starting pitcher injured, and then one of the other guys they were counting on in their rotation flamed out, not to mention we haven't seen Cole Hamels yet. So it's really kind of almost a perfect match. And, you know, the Braves had that outfielder, Christian Pichy, who a lot of people were projecting to be a starter this year. They had it penciled in the Braves starting lineup. You know, the Brewers have those young guys like the names mentioned here, Freddie Peralta and Corbin Burns. Do you possibly see these two teams getting together since the pitch team's right? Even though it's really not a trade either team normally makes. Normally they trade veteran guys for young guys. But could you see a swap of like some young pitching for some young outfielder?
It's possible. I mean, I think after this weekend, that would make the Brewers want to be in a buying mode, seeing how they played against the Cubs.
Yeah, now that they kind of got themselves back in the race, it would make sense for them to, you know, kind of make a move. But yeah, it seems like it's almost too perfect, doesn't it? It's like, here, I'll give you this young developing pitcher for this young developing outfielder. Doesn't it seem like it's just too good to be true?
It does, but it's almost like when we get those random. Well, you take my $22 million bust, and I'll take your $22 million bust. But yet it works out for both teams sometimes.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, oh, you know. Yeah, because, yeah, reading it, I was just like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense, which means neither team will want to do it, is what that, you know, what it boils down to. Yeah.
So say you can't get your deals from the reporters, right? Then that would validate their job.
I know. It's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of weird like that. But not, you know, and of course there's always the ones that don't make any sense whatsoever here. I'm kind of baffled by this one. He goes into talking about the Diamondbacks, how they're, you know, they're hanging on in contention for a playoff spot. But, you know, Malcolm Bumgarner's hurt, and then Robbie Ray and Luke Weaver are both stung. So he's talking about them going out and getting a pitcher. But oddly, and I don't know why this would be something the Tigers would do unless they really overpaid, he thinks they should go after the Tigers. Apparently have four starting pitchers in their top 10. We're going to see Eric, I believe it's Kubel tonight against the White Sox, and then Casey Mize goes tomorrow. Interestingly enough, Dan, I went to pick up Casey Mize in the fantasy leagues, and somebody already beat me to him. So that's how quickly those guys are on the ball. You know, he mentions that the Diamondbacks, notoriously don't have a very good minor league system. apparently they have some decent ranked outfielders. You know, Dan, I don't understand this. You know, like if I'm the Tigers, I'm not giving up that young pitching because it's so hit or miss, and you don't know what you have yet. Does this one make sense to you? Because I don't buy this. I think this was just kind of, you know, we're in fairy tale land here, and I had to beef up my article because I only had two teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to say. You never know. You don't ever want to give up on young pitching before you've had time. You know, it's almost like the Kyle Schwarber. I think part of the reason he hasn't let go of him, not only because of being his guy and his draft pick, but also the, I don't want to be the guy that traded away this guy. Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of young pitching, I mean, how do you not think the Nationals would like to have Lucas Giolito back in their rotation?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I know he really struggled with them. You know, but he may have just not been ready when you go back and look at it. But boy, they, you know, even though they did win the World Series last year, boy, they would really like to have him now, wouldn't they?
Oh, I think he'd be better off because you think about the fact that how much time he had to meet and miss. Not that that was, you know that was going to happen, but, you know, I think it was one of those where they were trying to make the run then, and even, what, for like 4 or 5 years, a combination of one of the four of us, you know, myself, you, Sean Mark Stu, and Mr. Fantasy had picked the Nationals to go to the World Series, you know, for like 4 years straight, you know. So when you look back on it, it's like, hindsight is definitely 20/20, but this is another one where I know I didn't have any insight into this at the time, but going after Adam Eaton in the outfield doesn't make a whole lot of sense now when you look at what else came up out of their farm system. Like, was the need really there? You know, and that's kind of because they paid a high price for Adam Eaton.
Yeah, they, you know, it's weird that they gave up what they gave up to get Adam Eaton when you think about it. You know, and I know Giolito had really struggled with them, and, you know, Lopez wasn't really projected as a starting pitcher. But, you know, it just seemed like so much when, you know, you were like, really, you're going to give up? You know, and they gave up another pitcher by the name of Dane Dunning, who isn't too far away from, you know, being ready for the majors, so we may see him too as part of that deal. So yeah, it could be another big chalk up there for Rick Hahn with a quality trade.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Bryce Harper leaving was kind of inevitable. I don't know if it was ever his deal to want to stay in Washington, but you know, for what they put in and have to pay Adam Eaton, do you think that could have helped them keep Anthony Rendon, or do you think he was on his way out too, regardless?
You know, I think guys like Harper and Rendon were going to the highest bidder. And, you know, with the contracts the Nationals have, you know, keeping Scherzer, keeping Strasburg, you know, which were two guys they really needed to hang on to because, you know, as we saw in the playoffs, pitching wins. You know, they signed Patrick Corbin, you know, and with a situation like that, when you have those big three on the mound, as long as you can keep them healthy, you can be competitive. You know, it's just being able to, you know, kind of piece things together. And, you know, they knew they had Carter Kieboom coming through the farm system, so he could take Rendon's spot. You know, he wouldn't be Rendon out of the gate, but he's got really good projections. So, you know, it's difficult, but I, you know, with the way the Harper thing was set up, he was going to take as much money as anybody was going to give him, no matter what the team was. You know, if it would have been the Pittsburgh Pirates giving him $400 million, he would be wearing a Pirates uniform right now. That's, you know, that's just completely what that was. And, you know, hey, nothing against, you know, Harper, or, you know, he's a Scott Boras guy. You know, you want your money, go get your money. You know, you'll be young enough to do whatever you need to do you know, your next time, if you opt out, I think he's got an opt out coming out. So, hey, what the hell?
I wonder if Phil went out of it.
You know, and, you know, then the last one he throws in here for me is just, you know, again, there's no real substance to it because he doesn't have them doing anything. He throws the Angels out here because they're, you know, they have a lot of minor league outfielders. You know, their top prospects are minor league outfielders. Well, obviously, you know, they have Justin Upton in left. They have Mike Trout in center. And now that Joe Adell is up, he needs to play every day in right field. You know, if Ohtani ever – I doubt Ohtani will ever play the outfield. I think he's just legitimately going to be a DH for life. You know, they have Brian Goodwin penciled in as their fourth outfielder. You know, he's kind of under the impression that they need to go out and deal these guys for starting pitching. You know, even though I think the rotation, you know, is much improved, I know Dylan Bundy had a bad outing today, but he's been really good. You know, you got your guy Andrew Heaney hanging out. Julio Teheran's going to give you innings. You got Griffin Caning. You know, so I don't know if, you know, is a minor league prospect going to get you enough to upgrade your outfield, or would they be better off maybe looking for a closer or a big bullpen arm? Because that seems to be where they're really in trouble at, don't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, it's part of the problem that someone didn't live up to their name in the outfield. I'm not talking about Trout.
Yeah, Ohtani?
Well, he doesn't play the outfield.
Well, he's legitimately supposed to. He just can't.
Yeah.
He did not hurt his arm.
So, I don't know. I kind of feel like they definitely need someone in the bullpen, especially with the manager you have. He's going to be calling back there a lot more. But at the same time, now with this new rule, maybe that does preserve the usage from the pen. So I don't know. It's a very close call. Yeah, you still need some big bats in the lineup too.
You know, because I'm kind of looking at their bullpen, and now, you know, they lose Tyler Boutre into the closer role. You know, he's doing okay. He's got a 3.38 ERA. You know, the problem was Hansel Robles started out the year as a closer, and he's got a 10.15 ERA. You know, and, you know, the rest of their, you know, like, they don't have a regular bullpen guy with the exception of Felix Pena, who's got an ERA under 3.72, which is really big for the bullpen. You know, you need those guys that are under 3, and you got to find those guys that are, you know, in the 2s. So, you know, I mean, if I'm going to deal one prospect team, I may want 2 bullpen arms back for one that I know I can, you know, get some use out of. You know, that's going to get me out and get me innings. You know, because starting-wise, you know, Heaney's made 5 starts. You know, his ERA is in the 4.7. So is Caning. You know, but that's, again, weird situation, limited innings. One good start, and those two cracking down. Teheran has struggled, but he's coming off injury. And, you know, like going into today, you know, Dylan Bundy's ERA was 1.57.
No.
Yeah. You know, and I know, you know, the Giants touched him up today, so obviously that's going to go up. You know, Sandoval's been good. He just hasn't managed to pick up a win yet. So, I just don't know if, you know, I mean, can you figure out, I mean, you calculate it there that do they have a high enough prospect to bring back a quality starter? You know, and then I guess if so, where are you going to get it from?
Yeah. Try to sucker up a three-way deal. Right,
you know, because, like, I could see maybe the Royals giving up Danny Duffy finally, but is he a quality starter?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, those are the big questions. You know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the Pirates would probably gladly trade Derek Holland, but you know, is Derek Holland worth one of your better outfield prospects?
No.
So, right. So it just kind of.
I thought he was on the Cubs.
Not anymore. He signed with the Pirates. So, but yeah. So you know, it just becomes kind of weird. On, okay, well, great. You want me to go get this, but where do I find it?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I mean, you know, it's trade speculation, and that's how it goes. I mean, that's what it's there for, to have some fun with. But, you know, like the first couple I thought were actually really good ideas and made a lot of sense. But, you know, especially because he listened to you and I yesterday talking about Clevenger and Plesac, you know, but the last couple, it just kind of fell apart there. So I'm like, okay, it's one of those things where I'm thinking – you know, since I always write the blog and I try to make it at least 1,000 words, I'm sitting there going, did he need a word count? He had to get to a word count or something for his article. This is how he got there. Cause yeah, the and the Angels one is just so open ended, you know? Yeah. Take one of your prospects and go get a starting pitcher.
Well, which one?
Okay. Like, you know, you know, that, you know, that would be like me telling you, you know, all three of your dogs are sick, Dan, but only take one to the vet.
Yeah.
Okay, which one? So, you know. Well, I did see, you know, we only got a couple minutes left. So I haven't had you make a prediction in a long time, so I'm going to have you make one today, Dan. Just real simple. Does the Blackhawks season end tonight? You know, they're down 3-1. I don't know how the hell they won that last game, because I watched the last two periods of it. And, you know, Vegas looks like they're playing at a different level. But Corey Crawford was a hockey god that night and literally stood on his head to keep them winning that game. They got any chance tonight, or are they going home?
I'm going to give them the chance. You know, it's our team. But, I was actually thinking about that yesterday, before they announced that they won. And I'm like, this isn't 2015.
No.
Or was it 2013? I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, it was just, you know, because like, I haven't watched much of it, but it was by, you know, just the, I don't know if it's talent gap or teamwork or what it was, but I mean, they, of such a contrast of, you know, of teams. And I was like, God, I can't believe how good Vegas looks. But, you know, the Blackhawks kept hanging on, and then they got that empty netter to put the game out of reach. Otherwise, it really may have been in trouble. But, you know, I'm sorry, I don't think I let you make your pick. Are they going home?
They're going home.
Oh, okay. Dan's sending them away. He's done with the Blackhawks. Not only are we done with the podcast, we're done with the podcast. We'll have to save our thoughts for tomorrow when we find out what the winner is. If you believe Dan and I are going to call ahead, we'll come to that tomorrow at 4:30 to be the final call. All we're going to do is we'll be on sportsmedia.com. We'll see you at 4:30 tomorrow morning. All we're going to do is we'll be on the phone. We have to do this these days. It's all the time of the show. Feel free to let the other one know if I'm sure you know you're okay with that. But here, if you stop by and listen to this live, thank you for doing that, but with us, this guy is the time of the podcast. All you have to do is follow us on YouTube.com and do this at any time you want.
Sports Time Radio.